Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The short sermon text that we have before us this morning deals with a great problem that many people face or feel in their lives. And that is the feeling that their life really has no plan and no real clear purpose to it. That things just seem to happen to them for no rhyme or reason at all. And that feeling robs life of its feeling of purpose and of its direction. And it actually affects the way that many people live their lives. As we see so often in the world today, so many people make goals and plans only for the present moment or only for this present lifetime. Now, it's not necessarily that people are purposely trying to be wicked or irresponsible. For many, that way of life, focusing on the present, on the here and now, is simply a natural consequence of that feeling that life is just a random coincidence of events and there's no greater purpose in life. Many people feel as individuals that they are so small and insignificant that it's hard to convince them that their morality or their lack of morality really makes any difference at all in the grand scheme of things. Hard to convince them that religious belief or lack of religious belief has any real importance for them. Or hard to convince them that they should view life in terms of a higher direction or purpose or goal than just simply the everyday tasks and pleasures of life. Now, of course, as Christians who know God's word, who know God's promises to us, we certainly wouldn't openly espouse this kind of idea, the idea that life really has no purpose at all. We recognize that idea is, in principle, contrary to what God tells us in his word, contrary to, in fact, the words that we have before us this morning in our sermon text. But the trouble for us Christians also is that we don't just live theoretically in what we know in our heads. We live in a world of concrete and often frustrating and difficult and painful realities that often seem to be contrary to what God tells us in his word. In fact, almost daily we are confronted with situations that test this basic conviction of ours that there is a higher purpose for us in life. And at times the testing, the trials and hardships that we face in life can lead us to very severe doubts. Doubt can become a lack of confidence in God and his word and in his love and his promises. And that can lead to a deep sense of aloneness if we feel that God is not with us or that he has abandoned us to the circumstances of our lives. The apparent randomness sometimes of life can make us feel that even as God's people, we are small and insignificant victims of chance, just as everyone else in the world is, whether they believe in God or not. Think about all the many irritations that we have to put up with in life. Those things that can upset us or annoy us. Normally, most of those things are just annoying, just troublesome, and we can handle them. But when those things are coupled with bigger problems that we're facing in our life, well, then those things can all seem to add up to be part of a pattern that convinces us that there really is no pattern, no rhyme or reason to our life. And not only do little things go wrong for us in our life, but also sometimes bigger things as well. People who should care about us sometimes seem to be content just to ignore us. We know that we certainly don't deserve that kind of treatment from them. Maybe our car breaks down at just the most inopportune time when we can least afford to make the payment to get the car repaired, or perhaps when we can least afford the time to take it to the shop and to be without a vehicle to use. Maybe we get sick at the least opportune of times. Maybe our children have problems in their lives that we worked so hard to raise them up to avoid those problems. Loved ones might suddenly get sick and die before their time. We might be treated rudely or roughly by people that we don't know. And what hurts even more is when that happens by people who are close to us. Our money runs out too soon. Our dreams don't turn out the way that we had hoped. When we finally get something the way we want it, that also often leads to problems that we didn't anticipate in the first place. Maybe we're passed over for a job or a promotion that we feel we have earned. Maybe we're having marital difficulties. Maybe we have problems with our parents. We often jokingly speak of Murphy's Law, and no offense to any Murphys who are with us today. But the idea is that if anything can go wrong, it will go wrong, and it will go wrong at the worst of all possible times. We laugh about that, but in our private moments, when that seems to happen to us again and again, we can feel that that's part of a deeper problem, and maybe God doesn't really care after all. As we search for explanations to these things, we might even be led to consider them as punishments from God to us. When we spill something on the floor, or we spill a cup of milk all over the kitchen floor, we might look to the ceiling and mutter, "Why me, God? Why would you let this happen?" And of course, with something as minor as that, we don't cry over spilled milk, and we mean that as a joke. But when it comes to a more serious, more impactful situation, then really it's no joking matter. And we can truly cry out that question to God from the bottom of our hearts in great bewilderment and anguish and sorrow, as we're lying in a hospital bed, or as we're sitting or standing next to the hospital bed or the hospice bed of a loved one, when we're at the scene of an auto accident, or as we hang up the phone after hearing some tragic or sad news. At those times, it hurts very much to feel that God might be punishing us for something that we have done, or punishing a loved one for something that they have done. We might also be tempted to think that God doesn't really control all things. If he does, how could he let these things happen to us who love and trust in him? We might be tempted to think that Satan really is in control, or that he has taken some control away from God, that he has intruded into our lives to make us suffer something from which God cannot protect us and defend us or deliver us from. Or we might ponder the possibility that perhaps God has just forgotten all about us. Perhaps we're not even all that important to God after all. Perhaps we've just slipped through the cracks into a meaningless void where things just happen to us by chance. Now, all of these thoughts are not new thoughts, certainly. These thoughts go back to the very beginning of the human race, in fact. And these thoughts must have been very real thoughts for the Christians in the church in Rome in the first century AD, because the Apostle Paul, writing these words to them that we just heard at the start of our sermon, wrote to assure them that the situation was actually quite different from that. And what the Apostle Paul wrote to those Christians in Rome is also a message from God to us, as we face those same questions and challenges and difficulties in life. Paul writes these words of hope and of comfort to us by explaining to us our relationship with God as his redeemed people in Christ Jesus, his Son, and what that means for us in our lives. And Paul anticipates all of that human thinking that we have just described, all those doubts, those cries of anguish in the midst of those hardships that we face. And he confronts those thoughts, those doubts, those concerns head on. When he says in the verses following our reading, he says, "Who will condemn or punish those whom God has justified?" And he answers his own question. He says, "Certainly not God the Father, who sent his own Son to redeem us, to die for us." Certainly Jesus, who gave up his own life to save our lives for eternity on the cross, certainly he will not punish us. Certainly the world or the devil cannot punish us because they have no power over us, because Jesus has defeated them and broken their power. God assures us that he will not punish the Christian, and nor will he allow us to be punished by other outside forces. Jesus has taken all of the punishment for our sins on himself already and paid it in full. And so since that is true, then what are we to make of all of the troubles that we face in our lives? We are to respond to them with the conviction that because we live in Christ and because his Holy Spirit dwells within us, therefore, as Paul writes in these words, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Now, this is not the same as saying we think that all things work together for good, or wouldn't it be nice if all things would work together for good, or it's possible that all things will work together for good. Now, Paul says with certainty, we know that all things work together for good. We know that. We're certain of that because of God's love, because of his love that he proved to us through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, because of God's love that we experience when we hear this wonderful good news, when we remember the fact that he washed us clean of all of our sins in baptism, when we taste and touch and see his tangible promise of assurance of forgiveness to us in the Lord's Supper. The Apostle Paul writes just a few verses before our reading of Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit himself joins our spirit in testifying that we are God's children. If there's ever any doubt, the Holy Spirit speaks in our hearts. You are God's child. He reminds you of your baptism as proof. You are God's child. He reminds you of the promises of God to you in his word. You have been saved by Jesus. You will not perish. We know that. We can see that through the eyes of faith. We and so many other Christians have learned to recognize God's activity in our life, on our behalf, even in the midst of some of the greatest troubles and difficulties that we face in life. And therefore, knowing all this, having seen and experienced all this, as Paul says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. This trust in God's faithfulness holds us up when our present situations in life might lead us to doubt or might lead us to think that things have changed and that maybe God doesn't really love us anymore or as much as he used to. Paul is saying, we have seen, we remember, and because we remember, we know that even in the midst of great difficulty in life, God will certainly work for our good. And so with this knowledge, we can face those troubling situations in our lives, knowing that God is certainly not punishing us, nor is he punishing our loved ones. That God is not too weak to protect us or to deliver or save us. That he has not just simply given us up to random chance or to the circumstances of life. In fact, we know that there are no accidents as far as God is concerned, because God knows and he has planned for all things that will happen. Not that he plans for all things to happen to us, but that he plans to take even the bad and work out a good and blessed result for us. That is God's promise to us. We know these things because we are those who love God, as the Apostle Paul mentions in our reading. Now, this statement, identifying ourselves as those who love God, it's not being presumptuous, it's not boasting. Nor does it say that God is good to us because we love him, because our love for him has earned his favor or his blessing. Rather, when the Apostle Paul refers here to those who love God, He's not focusing on a precondition within us that because we first love God, therefore God loves us. No, he's talking about the fact that God first loved us in Christ. He called us to faith in Jesus. And then he brought us in response to love him. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5, God shows his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The Apostle John also writes about this truth. He says, this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. We love because he first loved us. We can know, we can be certain that in all things God will work for our good, because his gracious activity has planted within us this gratitude and love toward God. Our love for God is the result of his Holy Spirit working in our hearts through his word, through the sacraments, convicting us of our sinfulness, leading us to repent of our sins and turn and trust in God's forgiveness for us through Jesus, to fully trust that we are accepted by God for the sake of Jesus, our Savior. We know that we can count on God's working through all things for our good because we have been changed inwardly by God's grace and his forgiveness. We know that we are redeemed and that God has planned a great purpose for us in our lives, whether we see or feel that always or not. The Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are God's handiwork. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That's what it means that we have been called according to his purpose. God always has a plan for us in our lives, a position for us to fill in his world, an important work for each and every one of us to do. And sometimes we might not always see it right away in the circumstances that we're in, but very often as we look back on the events of our lives, we can see that God had used us in some certain circumstance to give encouragement to another person, to touch it or move another person to think about spiritual matters and about God's love for them. Maybe on this earth we might never even find out about some of those circumstances, some of those cases in which God was using us to be an encouragement and a spiritual blessing to other people. But by his grace, we will find out about those things when we meet and reunite with those people in heaven before the throne of God. That is why God has redeemed us. He has redeemed us for his special purpose, for those good works that he has prepared for us to do even before we were born. God's love for us includes this full plan for our lives. And after stating this situation, this truth for us, Paul goes on to explain how this situation came to be in our lives. The comforting point is that not only are the events of our lives not accidental, but they're also not just a last-minute afterthought of God, of a busy God who is busy managing all the great and important affairs of our lives, and, oh no, as an afterthought, he just happens to think about and make some plans for us little people who are in the nooks and crannies of the world. No, the Apostle Paul means that we are all important parts of God's kingdom, that we are all have important work to do to carry out his mission of salvation, to spread the good news of his love and to encourage one another in our faith. Paul's words are meant to help us to see that our relationship to our God and his plan for our life is the result of his working and of his planning that he made even before he began to create the world, that he planned from all eternity, so that we would be drawn closer to him through faith in Jesus, and so that we would be used by him to bring others closer to faith, to unshakable faith, even in the most troubling of circumstances in this life. Think about that God began that work from eternity. Even before time began, God knew each and every one of us. He saw us as His own creatures. He saw our sin, yes, but He also foresaw our renewed relationship with Him when He would bring us to faith in Him and in Jesus as our Savior. Having been redeemed by Jesus, each of us is to be guided in our lives by God's work and by His plan so that we grow to be more and more like Christ. As Paul tells us in our reading, Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That is, that God has planned from all eternity to work in our lives to lead us to faith in the gospel so that we would be members of His family for eternal life with Him. Now, this does not mean that we're simply puppets on strings that God manipulates, or that we're like pre-programmed robots and that He controls everything that we do in our lives, or that even, as some Christians think, that God is responsible for all the evil things that happen in this world. The fact that there is sin in this world demonstrates that, in a strict sense, God's will is not always done. Because God does not will evil and sin to happen, nor does He tempt anyone to sin. People are allowed to make their own choices, and often, as we know, even for believers, those choices are bad. And bad choices sometimes lead directly and sometimes indirectly to hardships for the person who makes those choices and for other people around them. We easily know and understand that that is true. But often it's so hard to accept when another person's bad choices lead to hardship for us. And then we can begin to question the justice. How could you let this happen? Why don't you punish the wicked and spare the righteous from the evil consequences of sin? Think about so many times, as we see throughout the history of the Bible, where God used even great and terrible evil and suffering to bring about a blessed result. Think about just one example in the life of Joseph in the Old Testament. That out of jealousy and spite, his brothers sold him into slavery. And then they lied to their father about it and told him that they found his bloodied and torn robe, that he must have been mauled and eaten by wild animals. And then later on, when they were reunited, after God had used that terrible and tragic and truly horrible event to bring about a truly blessed result, as he brought Joseph out of slavery in Egypt, out of prison under false accusation, up to the second highest position in the whole land of Egypt, all so that Joseph could be the one to welcome his brothers and their families back into the comfort of a lush and abundant life in Egypt, to escape from the famine in their homeland in Palestine. His brothers were afraid of Joseph, who had now had this great power that he would take revenge on them for what they had done so many years earlier. But Joseph said to them, "You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring this to pass and to keep many people alive." The same principles are true in our lives today. Things may happen that may seem about to destroy us or our loved ones, but God sometimes allows them to happen because He can use even those terrible, tragic things to help further conform us to the image of His Son, Jesus, our Savior, and to advance His kingdom, the message of salvation spreading to more and more people through us and through those circumstances. And therefore, even the most difficult times in our lives can become purposeful and meaningful and should be seen as evidence of God working out through all things His eternal plan for us and for so many other people in the world. These moments can, for us, become times of self-discovery, times that make us strong and more compassionate. In these times, the Holy Spirit brings us closer to our Lord through the comfort that He gives to us through the gospel. He strengthens our trust in him and in all of his promises. God works for our good through all the events of our lives. Think about the fact that sometimes an alcoholic or a drug addict might need to hit absolute rock bottom in order to realize the seriousness of their problem and to be able to finally begin to make a change and a turnaround in their lives. An understanding of the preciousness of life might come through a severe illness, whether for in our own bodies or in the life of a loved one. Knowing the comfort of the gospel of God's abiding presence with us after experiencing heartache may help us to later be able to offer more meaningful comfort to those who are also facing suffering in their lives. Financial difficulties that happen in our lives can lead us to accept our absolute dependence on God and his blessing and faithfulness, and to trust in him more fully. By allowing these very difficult things, these hardships to happen in our lives, God helps us to see how extensively he has worked to avert problems and troubles in our lives, and that he has brought us in so many times undeserved blessing and success. But beyond allowing things to come into our lives, God is also actively involved in working his plans for us. He saw to it that we were called by the gospel, whether that was by being born into a Christian family and being brought to for baptism and to hear God's word from an early age, or at some point later in our lives, or perhaps we were called back to faith later in our lives as God put faithful Christians in our lives to share the comforting message of his love and forgiveness with us. God was actively involved in our lives and the life, suffering, death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus by which our salvation was secured. God was actively at work in the events that brought us to hear this good news and to be nurtured and strengthened by it again and again throughout our lives. So it's not simply by chance that we are here together this morning to hear God's word or watching from a distance. Our faith is the direct working, the direct result of God's hand at work in each and every one of our lives, working so many details and events that have happened in all of our lives to bring us here together today to hear his word. And we must appreciate all of the benefits of our faith in the same way. All of them come as a direct result of God's active working and planning and bringing those plans to fruition in our lives. All of that has been made possible by the work of our Savior Jesus on our behalf, his work to make us his own, so that as the Apostle Paul writes, we might be conformed to the image of his Son. God's presence in all situations of our lives gives meaning to everything that happens in our lives. And we know that beyond this life is the end goal of our faith, eternal life with God in heaven, where we will be perfectly conformed to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. This good news of what Jesus has done for us and what is in store for us in eternity that God has prepared for us, that is the foundation of our present faith, and that gives meaning to everything that happens in our lives. Because we know that Jesus, who gave himself for us and for our salvation, does indeed make all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Amen.